Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is our paranormal afterlife, and I'm your host Simon Bowen. And you can enjoy the extended version of this episode ad-free, along with over 100 hours of extended episodes on Patreon. This week, I'm talking to Christy Hoffman about her book, Real Life Angel Encounters. Real people share real stories of miraculous encounters. Christy is the host of the Real Life Angel Encounters podcast on the Mind Body Spirit FM network. She's also host of the Radiate Wellness podcast in its sixth year on the Mind Body Spirit FM network. Christy is a lifelong intuitive, channel, teacher, consultant, and Reiki master. She's also certified at level 3 in quantum healing hypnosis technique. Hi, Christy. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Oh, thank you, Simon. I've been so looking forward to this.
So we're going to talk about your book. It's called Real Life Angel Encounters. Real people share real stories of miraculous encounters. So first of all, I got to ask, where did you get the stories from?
From people just like you and me. And I just put a notice out on social media, hey, I need these angel stories. And after a few episodes came out, more people were contacting me. Now, I've also supplemented from time to time with stories from the news as well. So in the book, well, and I have to differentiate because there's a podcast. So I should probably back up and say that. This started as a podcast in 2021, I believe it was. And it was just one of these things that came out of, I think it came out of the pandemic, because here we are going inside. We're staying in our homes, but we're going inside our soul, inside ourselves, inside our consciousness, right? People are bored, they're at home, and they're turning to YouTube and books and different programs, things they always were interested in, but maybe had never taken a deep dive. And here we were taking a deep dive. And folks started just awakening. I call it this post-COVID awakening. So when in 2021, my angels tapped me on the shoulder and said, okay, we need to talk. You need to get stories out about angels in people's lives. And I was like, that's awesome. But when would I do that? How would that look? And they said, you need to start a podcast. And I'm like, I already have a podcast, the Radiate Wellness podcast, and I have a group practice, and I'm a single mom, and I have my own practice seeing clients. And they're like, all right. And then a while later, tapped me on the shoulder a little harder, and they said, you need to start this podcast. And I said, I've already done a series on YouTube called 52 Weeks of Angel Connections. I've talked about you guys on YouTube. They said, no, this needs to be something different. And I said, no, I don't want to do that. And then finally, they hit me upside the head with a 2x4 or a big piece of lumber there in the UK and just said, no, do this. And so I said, fine. I started this Real Life Angel Encounters podcast and then put out the word on social media. People started sending me stories. So it started out as a podcast. And after about 40 episodes, I said, this is exhausting. I've got 2 full-time podcasts, single mom, full practice, group practice, doing all the things. And I'm starting to scramble to get stories together. It was getting harder people wanted to tell me their stories, but they didn't want to record them or they didn't want to send them to me, but they would tell me the stories. That's wonderful. But without them to actually tell it on the show, it got a little challenging. So I put the podcast to bed for a while. And then the podcasting network said, hey, this was last year. They said, hey, what would you think about bringing the podcast back? And I said, well, I don't know. That could be kind of fun, but still, I've got a lot on my plate. And that's when the idea for the book came about, actually, Simon, was that there's a podcast that I dearly love called Jim Harold's Campfire. Jim Harold is a paranormal podcaster. And he's got this podcast where people call in with their ghost stories. I love that show. I've been listening a long time and even subscribed to his Plus Club. But So when my guides started talking to me about doing this podcast, that was the model that I really liked, was that real people telling their stories, just very similar to what Jim does, but this would be positive paranormal. It would be spirits in spirituality. It's not the scary stuff, nothing scary. I wanted it all positive. So I started putting this. So anyway, I took the stories from the first season, the best stories of the first season. And much like Jim with his campfire series books. So he's put the best of the stories from that podcast into a series of books. I thought, well, I'm going to create a book based on listeners and storytellers' stories. And that's how this book came about. And I thought, well, this will be great when I bring the podcast back. I'll have the books to support it and the podcast will support the book. So it made a lot of sense. So that's how Real Life Angel Encounters, Real Stories from Real People Sharing Miraculous Encounters was born.
So you were talking there about communicating with your guides, and it sounded like you could have a conversation with sentences, but is it like that? How do you do it?
Well, that's a very good question. This is something that I learned to develop. We all have this ability. We all have guides, first of all. We have a guardian angel, we have an archangel, and we have a crew of other guides who are with us. So we all have a spiritual team. And we can all talk with them. And most of us do talk with them, but we might not realize that's what we're doing. It might feel like you're just kind of getting a sudden inspiration. It might feel like, oh, well, that's a good idea. And it just pops in your head. It might be that you're listening to your guides like, I don't know, I think for some reason I'm just going to skip the gym today. And then you find out that there's a wreck on the freeway on the way. So we're hearing from our guides all the time, and we can communicate with them as well. In fact, one of the chapters in Real Life Angel Encounters, I talk about how to connect with our guides, who the guides are, and how everybody, anybody can reach out and have a conversation with them. This is just as natural as me having a conversation with you. So it's something within everybody's realm, and it's actually pretty simple. So I've just learned to harness it and develop it and really rely on it and make it stronger and more consistent over time. But, you know, anybody can do that with work.
People think of angels, a lot of people, it might have this image in your head of a white robe and big white wings and all that kind of thing. But in the book, you say angels come in many forms. So could they show up as anything, anybody?
Oh, they can. Absolutely. They'll show up in many different ways. I was in Real Life Angel Encounters on an upcoming episode. The storyteller was saying that when he was a child, his little sister had crawled out of her stroller. And when she was a toddler, she climbed out of her stroller. They were shopping. She wandered into the street, of course, and he and his mom were frantic. Of course, he was maybe six at the time, but they were frantic looking for her. And this gentleman walks up and he's holding her hand and he comes up and he says, I found Elizabeth, and brought her to them. Now, here's the kicker. Well, and then they got her settled into this car seat. Into the stroller. They got her settled in, buckled in, turned up to thank the man, and he was gone. Now, here's the kicker. This was a special needs toddler. She was not verbal. She was not maybe vocal, but she was not verbal. And she could not have said her name. How he knew her name, that was amazing. And then he just disappeared without a trace. And the caller who told the story said, he looked like any other person. He was not anything special. And the thing is that we can have an angelic intervention through a human too. Not only can our angels and guides show up in human form so as not to disrupt anything or not to seem out of place or startle us or scare us, right? But they can also have the right person show up at the right time where you are. So it's just like a little nudge that they would give someone else, or they'd just kind of whisper to someone else. So So we hear about those things all the time. There's a story in Real Life Angel Encounters, the book, where I talk about I'm driving back from my therapist's office. It was a very emotionally charged time. I was distraught. I was going through a major upheaval in my life. And it was very obvious when I pulled up to a stoplight that I had been very emotional. I had been, my face was puffy and red. And I look over and there is an unhoused man standing on the corner. And I rarely interact with people on the corner. But I looked over at him, and rather than holding up a sign asking for money, or rather than approaching the car or anything, he just, with a closed fist, taps his chest, points up to the sky, and nods his head. And I knew in that moment, this is going to sound crazy, but I knew in that moment that it was Archangel Michael. Because Archangel Michael always shows up for me. And even though this was an African-American, unhoused man, just standing on the corner like so many others who stand on the corner in Kansas City, I knew in that moment that was Archangel Michael showing up for me. So yeah, they can show up in many different forms.
So people will have guardian angels and spirit guides. What's the difference between those two?
That's a good question too. I'm glad you asked that. So we have a guardian angel who's basically assigned to us from before we're even born. And we make this arrangement with them on the other side before we're born, between our lifetimes. And they generally have one main task they help us with, although they can help us with anything. And so they are with us birth to death. We also have an archangel with us from birth to death. An archangel, there are about 15 of them, and they all have various jobs that they do. So yeah, they're spread around, you know, millions of people around the world have Archangel Gabriel as their archangel, or Raphael, or Shamuel as their guardian, as their archangel. And excuse me, the spirit guides, these can be loved ones. These can be just people on the other side who are trying to earn their stripes, to borrow a military phrase, but trying to rise in the ranks, as it were, by helping us. And so we can call them in. There used to be an old commercial for Apple phones saying there's an app for that. And I'm here to say that there is a guide for that. Anything that we would need help with, there can be a guide. And so they can come in to help us plan a party. They can help us find the best route to wherever we're going. They can help us figure out what to have for dinner. They can help us with so many different things, and we can just call them in. Or they can just show up because, oh, well, Simon's going to be going through something. Let's just rally around and help him through that rough patch. And then, you know, we'll take our leave. So there's many guides that can come in and out it. And again, I speak about all of this in Real Life Angel Encounters in the book. So there's a lot of help there in terms of, I list out some of the Ascended Masters, some all of the archangels that I know of. And I've done quite a bit of work on that. So, and just talk about the various guides and how they can interact with us and how we can ask for help, because it's important that we ask.
And you talked then about you might have a guide that helps you maybe when you're driving from one place to another. But what if you get lost? And this might be like for your life and all sorts of things you're doing. You're trying to do something and you just get lost. And it's like your guide or your angel's not there helping you. Could it be that you get lost because you're supposed to, because in some way this helps you?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Exactly. You know, they're always listening. And by listening, they know our thoughts. That's really what I mean by that. They know our thoughts. And if you think of your thoughts being like prayers, they're so much more intelligent than we are. They know what we want in life. They know what's going to make us happy. They know what we're going to need. Now, while they cannot come in and swoop in and save the day, although on very rare occasion, they will step in if it's not our time to die and we are in a dangerous situation. They can do that. But typically, they cannot just swoop in and fix everything like some sort of deus ex machina. But they can influence us. And so, yes, we can ask for directions and help to get to wherever we're going. Not too long ago, I drove to Nashville for, the Galactic Expo. And, you know, it's a place I've been a couple of times, but, you know, I don't know my way around there. Boy, I was talking to everybody saying, okay, get me to where I'm supposed to be and get me back to the hotel. And, you know, I got turned around a couple of times and that's okay. But the point is that they know what we need and they know what we desire. And we can look at getting lost as, oh my gosh, my guides aren't with me. They're not paying attention. Or we can look at it as, all right, my guides have taken me to this place. They've let me get to this place. Is there something here that I should take a look at? Is there something here I should pay attention to? Is there something I might be avoiding? This extra 5, 10, 15 minutes that it's taking me to get to where I'm going, I may have avoided an accident. I may have avoided an even bigger slowdown, maybe a traffic jam or something. I could have avoided something, or I could be in a position where, oh, there is a store that I really need to know about. I'll have to come back here. Right. So we can have all types of reasons why that might happen, but we do need to keep an open mind and an open eye and open ear and see what those reasons could be. But just trusting that our guides are there, they're not going to let us fail. And any failure that we do perceive or do encounter, we might look at, okay, what is the lesson here? And even a lesson can be a big blessing. So they're always helping us.
So most of the time, it seems that they're working in the background and you could say we don't even notice it. But then occasionally there's like the stories in your book where we do notice it. So is it that maybe they come afterwards and thought, oh man, they spotted me? Or is it that they're doing it on purpose?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. So yeah, our guys work with us in so many different ways. They can put people in our path that we were thinking about and we need to reach out to or need to talk to. They can put delays in our path. But it's always our choice of what we do with that. So for example, there is an example in the book, Real Life Angel Encounters, about a woman who is in a hurry. She needs to make it to a meeting. And she needs to stop at our local Walmart, which I don't know if you have Walmarts there, but it's a big superstore. And she needs to stop there for something that she was going to need for the meeting. But she really didn't have time. She was in a rush. And she encounters a woman there in the store who needs some help. And she thought, well, gosh, I really don't have time for this. But there was some little still voice in her mind saying, you know what? The meeting will wait. They'll wait for you. Don't worry about it. Just help this woman. And she did. And it turned out to be a very touching story. Listeners are going to have to read the book to find out what happened. But it turned out to be a very touching story. And she realized then that there was something bigger at play. And she took the lesson. You know, there's, I think it was... a well-known geologist by all, you know, if you can imagine that, but who said, you can look at things like everything is a miracle or that nothing is a miracle. And I really believe that, you know, this woman could have just thought, okay, I'm in a rush, lady. I can't stop to help you. Good luck. But she didn't. She looked at it like this could be an opportunity. She heeded that small voice in her head. And it turned out to be a blessing, a big blessing. We never know when that'll happen.
If you have, say, Archangel Michael, there could be millions of people calling on him every second of the day. So there must be something about him that is, I don't know, not an ascended master, but something where he can handle that. That's not overwhelming. He can be in all those places at once. Is that something that's like particular to angels like him, and guides couldn't do that?
Okay, well, a couple of things. First of all, there's so many people in the world who at the same time are talking to Jesus, to Mother Mary, to Muhammad, to Allah, to the Buddha. So many people are praying at the same time to them, and they just expand. This is true of archangels as well, and any type of angelic being, any type of non-physical being too. So yes, even our guides and our loved ones can be seemingly everywhere at once. So I've had several clients, because of course I do readings, I'm an intuitive, and I help people with connecting with their loved ones, hearing from their angels, delivering messages that their guides want them to know. And I had a client one time, her mother was deceased, and this client was just absolutely distraught. But when I got in touch with the mother on the other side, she said, "This is wonderful. I can be with my daughter in Kansas, my other daughter in Washington, D.C., and the rest of the family in Mexico all at the same time." And then there was another client. She was worried about talking to her deceased husband. She missed him terribly. And she said, "I don't want to take him away from the work that he's doing on the other side." He says, "You're not taking me away from anything at all." He says, "I can do it all at the same time, because humans are the ones who figure out a way to monopolize and manipulate time. That is not how time works. All time is now. So our guides are talking to us now. They're talking to others now. They're doing their work now. All of it. It keeps expanding to make this possible. We're the ones who view it a little in a wonky way."
So I wanted to ask you about one of the things in the book, the Cokeville miracle. Could you tell us what happened there?
Oh my goodness. What a story. I vaguely remember this. This happened in the 80s, and it made national news, of course, because nothing like it had happened to that point. And this was in Cokeville, I believe it was Wyoming. You know, of course, listeners will need to read the book to get the whole story. But the gist of it is, this madman had walked into an elementary school with his wife and was going to hold the school hostage, and wanted, you know, this vast sum of money. He wanted to talk to President Reagan, who was the president at the time, to negotiate this. He had a manifesto, all of the things that have become kind of stock in our imaginations anymore. And he walked in with an arsenal and all of these explosives. He got all of the children and the faculty and everything gathered in one room. I can't imagine how crowded it was. The teachers did their best to try to keep the kids calm. I mean, all the school didn't know what was going on. This was before we had, I don't know how it is in the UK, but our schools here have become locked down. It is a sad state of affairs. You have to go through metal detectors and security guards and things to get into school. It's a sad state of affairs. But this was before any of that. So this gentleman and his wife just walked in with all of this stuff, and with all of their weapons, told all of the you know, everybody who was in the school at the time to get into one room. Anyway, this hostage situation developed, and it became unsustainable. But anyway, what happened was, the arsenal blew up. Only this madman and his wife were the only casualties. There was one person injured, the music teacher. He made a full recovery. There were some minor scrapes and bruises and things like that. But everybody got out of the building safely, except for the two who held everyone hostage. Afterward, what happened was, the children started talking about the angels that came in and helped them. And they talked about angels that came in and described them. And it turns out that these were loved ones on the other side that they had never met. And the more the kids started talking, the adults knew that there was something there. And there's been a movie even made about the Cokeville Miracle, and it's called the Cokeville Miracle, of course. And they do a good job of depicting what happened. I think if that movie were made today, though, that there would be a depiction of these angelic beings that came in and what they did. It's amazing what they did. You got to read the story because there's a lot of details that are there. And, you know, that's a real big example. That, and I also tell the story of the butterfly people of Joplin. That is Joplin, Missouri, my home state. And the Joplin tornado that happened in 2011, an E5, that's the biggest scale tornado that has been, you know, that is recorded or written about. And the things that happened in the aftermath of that and these angels showing up. If there are more stories like that, I want to hear them. I think our listeners and our readers want to hear them because it's just proof that they can come in and swoop in and save the day, but that's not usually their MO. When they do, it's an amazing story.
And have you had people tell you about angel encounters in dreams?
Oh, yes. This happens quite frequently. And many times, Simon, these dreams can feel more real than real. Sometimes they'll be described as lucid dreams, but they just feel more real than real. And that is because it's our bodies that need sleep. Our bodies rest and repair when we are asleep. But the rest of us, our consciousness does not need that rest. Our consciousness is free to explore. So when we are on the other side in our consciousness, it's so easy to communicate with guides, with our angels, with our loved ones. In fact, many times we'll have dreams of our loved ones that feel more real than real. And when we have those dreams, we know that we've been actually visited. I had a dream about my dog, Milu, and this is not in the book, but I had a dream about my dog, Milu, that was such a vivid dream. And I remember in the dream that I reached down to pet her. I could feel her fur. I booped noses. Her nose was cold and wet. I mean, she was there in the flesh in this dream. And our angelic visits and our visits to the other side really do feel like that. And we can learn things. We can go to school in our dreams. We can visit with our loved ones. We can ask questions. And these type of dreams do normally stick with us quite some time. There's a story in the book about a woman who had these recurring dreams. And then this figure in the dreams actually showed up in the physical. And she almost like bumped into this woman in her dream. Yeah, the story is called The Women in White. And it's a fascinating one. And this is an encounter that was kind of slow rolling, that there were dreams of this person and, you know, over the years. And then finally, she showed up in, well, I guess in the flesh, if she was solid. But this is an encounter that just kept coming and kept going.
I've heard of dreams called announcing dreams. This is when a woman will have a dream, maybe when she's pregnant, and it'll be somebody coming to her saying, I'm the spirit, the soul for your child. I'm going to be your child. And then when the baby's born, they can see that. And as the baby gets older, and there was one woman I saw, she had this dream, this old man in the village where she lived came and said, I'm going to be your child. And she was, oh no, not him. But as the child grew up, it had past life memories of that old man's life.
Oh my goodness. I don't doubt that at all. Yeah, I've heard from many people who have heard from their loved ones or their children, I should say, before they were born, And yes, there can be announcing dreams. There have been people all over the world who feel like they've had a prophetic dream of a tidal wave or 9/11 or a train derailment or an explosion, and they don't know when it's going to happen, where it's going to happen, or even if it's going to happen. Yeah, these prophetic or announcement dreams do happen. Sometimes we'll have these dreams, or even just this feeling, this inkling that someone's going to pass. You know, before 9/11, in fact, this is more of an inkling than a dream, but there, Sonia Choquette, she's a very well-known angel communicator, but her ex-husband, before 9/11, kept getting this nudge, this idea that he should move his investments around, just move them from one account to another account, from one company to another company. And he just kept getting this nudge, and he thought, that's weird. Why would I do that? My investments are doing well. That doesn't make any sense. But then 9/11 hit and his investments took a huge hit. And he lost quite a bit of money. So we can have these prophetic feelings, these prophetic dreams, these prophetic insights, and not know what they're about. So, you know, we can always just keep an ear to the ground, an eye open. We might not be able to do anything about these prophetic dreams. Of course, you know, if we're being informed that there's a child coming, wonderful. I've even had people tell me that they had a dream where the child said, you know, my name is Sophia, right? Okay. And we'll tell their name, who they're supposed to be. So yeah, that happens quite often. It's our job to pay attention. It's our job to be on the lookout.
Have you ever wondered what happens after we die? In my new book, Verified Near-Death Experiences, Proof of an Afterlife, I share 30 incredible stories of people who were clinically dead, some with no heartbeat, no brain activity, yet returned with knowledge that was later verified. These accounts challenge everything we think we know about consciousness and the afterlife. It's available now as an ebook, paperback, and audiobook on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other good bookshops. Again, it's called Verified Near-Death Experiences, Proof of an Afterlife. And I hope you check it out. And is there a kind of angel hierarchy? Because we hear about archangels and then we hear about angels. And is it, I suppose it's not, but Archangel Gabriel's in charge and tells the other angels what to do. But is it like that?
It is rather. And that's interesting about Gabriel, because I've always heard it's Michael. But I think we were not going to know for sure until we get there. But yeah, there's a hierarchy of angels, definitely. So our realm, our human realm, spans four dimensions. So we know the three dimensions, but then the fourth is time. We're moving rapidly to the fifth dimension, all of us on the human plane. But the fifth dimension is a dimension that is beyond what we can perceive with our senses. So when our loved ones pass, they move to that fifth dimension. There used to be a band called the Fifth Dimension. They were great in the 70s. And the fifth dimension is where things start becoming non-physical. So, you know, our loved ones and many other just humans that have passed and who might be on the other side. And many of these will start to interact with humans and help us and guide us. We do have to be careful, though, if we open ourselves up, because not all people or beings on the other side are in our best interest. Some of them may be what I call low-hanging fruit, where they just want to feel relevant, they want to feel involved, they want to feel like they're contributing, but they might not be helpful. So we want to use some discernment if we're contacting them. But then dimensions go all the way up. So we find archangels about mid-level, actually. They're not the highest beings. So there's a variety of angels before we get to archangels, but then above that, there's the powers, the thrones, the principalities, the seraphim, the cherubim, all the powers, all the way up to source itself. And these higher up angelic beings, they oversee mass groups of people, like the principalities oversee governments and, you know, the powers oversee the world and, you know, just all the way up to source itself. They're working with other beings and other planets and many other things. They're working with source energy. So archangels are mid-level management, and they are mid-level because they need to be closer to humans because they serve humans. Archangels work on the human levels. However, archangels have not been human before, with two important exceptions: Archangel Sandalphon and Archangel Metatron. Those two had been humans. Sandalphon had been Elijah in life from the Bible, Elijah from the Bible, and then Metatron was Enoch in the Bible. But all of the other archangels have never been human. However, they do oversee human concerns. Other angels, there's a debate about that among the people who work with angels, whether some of the angels had been human before. I do believe that some angels have been human before, but they're just working their way up through the ranks. There's a whole school of thought saying that no angels have ever been human. Well, I think they have been. Many of them have been, especially Metatron and Sandalphon. But then there's, you know, there's guides all in between, and our guides do move up the ranks, earn their bars, their stripes, earn their stars by helping humans. And so we need to let them, and we need to ask for help so that they can do their jobs too.
And in the book, you've got this thing all about the angels and the archangels. And there was something you said about how their names end in EL, like Ariel, Azrael, Gabriel, and that EL meant something.
It means messenger from God or messenger of God, right? It's just a messenger. So that's why Sandalphon and Metatron have these funny angel names. They don't fit the mold in any way, shape, or form. They have kind of these hybrid names that Archangel Haniel had given them. So Enoch and Elijah did not die. They ascended like Mary did. And when they ascended, Archangel Haniel took them and, you know, got them up to speed. You're going to be archangels, and gave them these funny names because they've got a different purpose, right? So the rest of the archangels, their names all do mean different things. But the L suffix means messenger of God.
So how do ascended masters fit into all this?
Yeah, ascended masters also are concerned with humanity, and they are based on helping humans. Now, they're a mixed bag. Some of them have been human before, such as Jesus and Yogananda. And, you know, Saint Germain, which, you know, some people are out on that, whether he was actually human. I believe he was. And then many of the ascended masters are deities. Now, I used to call them lesser deities or minor deities. They were quick to remind me, no, we're deities, love. So they are deities such as Apollo or Pele or Oshun, and they all have their different jobs that they do. Now, there's an excellent reference book that I just love. I use it all the time. It's out of print, however. It's called Archangels and Ascended Masters, and it's by Doreen Virtue. And this is a compendium of so many of these beings. But yeah, the ascended masters are also super helpful. And many of them are very well known, such as Kuan Yin or Ganesh or White Buffalo Calf Woman. And yeah, they all have their jobs that they do as well, just like the archangels. Like Ganesh removes obstacles from our path. And Oshun is all about water and waterways and just being in the flow. Babaji is about yoga and stretching yourself out of your comfort zone. Yeah, there's just a variety of things that they can help with. And we can talk to them like all of our other guides and the archangels and our own guardian angel. We can talk to them. We can call them in like, hey, Ganesh, I'm having some problems here. I can't get this loan to go through, all of these roadblocks. Can you help me out here? And then just wait and watch for the assistant that's coming, the assistance that's coming, right? Because, you know, when we do ask for things, when we can talk to our guides and we can ask them to help us, but then we need to be patient and we need to keep our eyes and ears open, because the answer can come in so many different forms. And I talk about this in the book, but some of the ways that these answers can come, whether from an ascended master or an archangel or one of our guides or loved ones, the answers can come in a song on the radio or a chance meeting with someone or a billboard that you pass every day on your way to work. And all of a sudden it says something different and it means something. So we just need to set it and forget it. Set the intention or the request and then just wait for it to show up. But we do need to take action as well. So if, for example, we're saying, hey, I really need for this loan to come through, Ganesh, will you help me? We still have to make sure that all of our paperwork is done. Yeah. Right. And then, you know, if something comes up, you need this bit of paperwork, we do have to do it. So, you know, Ganesh can help in terms of putting a fire under the person who is putting the loan through and helping them to tell you what they need. But then we have to actually go through and do the thing.
And do angels work throughout the universe? Like they'll be doing jobs on other planets, other civilizations? Or is it more like each set of angels has their own planet and they don't really change between them?
Wow, I don't think anybody's ever asked me that. That's a wonderful question. And, you know, I believe that at least the archangels work for us and the ascended masters work for us, work for humans. We do have ETs that will work with us too. I've got an ET guide named Osmar who works with me. There's, of course, Bashar, channeled by Daryl Anka, but he's more of an advisor, I think. But then there's Ashtar, who is another extraterrestrial. Ashtar is an ascended master, too. So, wow, that's an excellent question. You know, angels being non-physical beings, they can be everywhere at once. I do believe that there are whole classes that work with Earth specifically, you know, the ascended masters and the archangels, as I said. But, you know, all the way up to source, there are so many others in that hierarchy who can work with different places and different planets.
You're a level 3 quantum healing hypnosis technique. You've got the level 3. Could you just briefly tell me what that is?
So quantum healing hypnosis technique is the method of hypnosis that was developed by Dolores Cannon. She was a hypnotherapist in Arkansas. She started out as an amateur clinical hypnotherapist with her husband, Johnny. And they were doing things like smoking and weight loss and phobias and anxiety. They wanted to get faster and more reliable results. So they started taking their clients deeper. And one of their clients, while in a deeper state of trance, spontaneously went to another lifetime. And Dolores and Johnny thought, what the heck is going on here? So they started working with more clients looking at past lives. Now, this was in the 60s, mind you. There was the case of Bridie Murphy, who was a very well-known and very well-documented past life. But nobody else was talking about this. They had no idea what they'd stumbled onto. Well, Johnny had been in an accident, a terrible accident, and had become a paraplegic. Dolores put the work on the back burner until he died. After he passed, she brought out the work again, and she just kept going with it. Along the way, she found that she could help people recover alien experiences, extraterrestrial experiences, potential abduction experiences. She could help them recover that memory. She learned that we could visit other dimensions and we could travel to other dimensions with it. We could go to future lifetimes as well. She found that we could talk to our higher self, which is the source of all healing and knowledge. She also found that we could ask the higher self for healing. And I've seen remarkable healings with this. So over time, she kept trying to decide, well, what do I name this? As it kept developing, what do we call this? What do we call this? Then finally, when she felt like it was complete, she called it quantum healing hypnosis technique. Because it's not only physical healing, we can heal spiritual issues, relationship issues, mental and emotional issues as well. So it's a complete healing. And it's a very comprehensive service. Each session lasts about 4 to 6 hours, with the hypnosis portion of that lasting about 2, sometimes more. And the level 3 designation, there are 3 levels of certification within QHHT. You learn everything that you need at level 1. You can have successful sessions at level 1. At level 2, you learn different scripts and you learn more technique within the technique, and you learn more voice modulation with it. And then at level 3, it's really the highest professionalism that you can expect with QHHT. Level 3 practitioners, we are vetted. We have to recertify every 2 years. In fact, I'm up for recertification now. We are expected to publish. We are expected to be ambassadors for QHHT. But most of all, we are expected and we are tested and mentored to conduct sessions just like Dolores did. So we really hold ourselves to a high, high standard. And there, as a result, there are only 53 of us in the world that are at the level 3.
And I wanted to ask you about the session that you've put in your book. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, I love this session. So there is a QHHT session that I conducted a few years ago in which the client was actually a guardian angel in another lifetime. Could have fooled me. That was wild, because I know that typically many angels were not human. Some, of course, have been. So this was the first that I'd ever encountered a guardian angel as a lifetime. Since then, in the second season of Real Life Angel Encounters, the podcast, there's another caller who had a QHHT session with one of my friends, another level 3 practitioner, and she had a lifetime as an angel as well. So you'll have to listen to the podcast to hear that story. It'll probably be in the next book. But in this book, the first book of Real Life Angel Encounters, yeah, the client described watching over this little boy. Oh, he had been through some difficult times. She healed him after a horrific burning incident. And oh, the story that she tells of this boy and her interaction with him and with the doctors in the hospital where he recovered and the life that he had afterward. She just keeps checking in on him. And it's just, the story is beautiful. Just the care and the concern that she has for this little boy. So in the book, and also in the first season of the podcast, you can listen to the whole story. That I asked her where she did her training and how she learned how to do these wonderful things. And so she guided listeners and readers to the place where she studied and the teacher she had, and described many, many facets of what it's like to be a guardian angel. And it's so beautiful. But you know, what's so funny is I asked her how she felt about this job, what it's like. She says, that's just a job, which was a huge surprise to me. I would have thought, oh, this is the most important job I could ever imagine. This is wonderful. I get to help people. But no, it's just a job. It's my job. It's what I do. But I'm glad you read that story, because it's such a good one. It's such a good one. And yeah, listeners will need to read the entire thing to get the full impact of it, and then listen to it in season 1.
So what do you think is the biggest misconception about angels?
that they all have wings. Yeah, many of them do, but they don't all have wings, or they don't always show up as wings. Another big misconception is that they always show up in human form. That is not true. If we Google biblically correct angels or biblical angels, they're often covered with eyes and they do have wings, but they're not necessarily in a human form. Another big misconception with angels is that they do show up for regular people. That's the whole point of the podcast and the book, that these are real people who've had these miraculous encounters. This is not in the book. This is in the first season of the podcast. I should have put it in the book. But a woman describes having two angels, literal angels, wings, robes, the whole nine yards, show up in her kitchen, three of them. She said they were ginormous, that they were as tall as the ceiling and they were beautiful and exactly what you would expect, like from a Christmas postcard, that they look like angels, but they don't all show up like that. And you don't have to be Joan of Arc to have an angel appear to you. You don't have to be anything special. They work with us. They're with us. Real life people have real life angel encounters.
I think there's somebody in my book who was during the near-death experience. They found themselves in a space with a spiritual being. And they said that the way that the energy came off this being behind them, it looked like wings. So it was like this energy was in wing shape rather than actual feathers.
Yeah, and in religious icons and paintings, we often see religious figures depicted with a halo. And that is actually the energy coming off of them, their aura. And it gets depicted as a circle above their head, but really that's their aura and their energy field. Yeah, I've heard that the wings are actually just this energy field. I mean, we're talking about being able to bilocate, being able to transport immediately, to be everywhere at once. Why do we need wings to get there when it's all energy anyway? So that makes a lot of sense that it would be the energy behind them.
It's been great talking to you. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Simon. It's been such a pleasure.
And the book is called Real Life Angel Encounters. Real people share real stories of miraculous encounters. And where can people get it?
On Amazon and anywhere else that you would find books.
And could you tell us again about your podcasts and your YouTube channel?
Absolutely. So the podcasts are the Radiate Wellness Podcast and Real Life Angel Encounters, both of which can be found on my website, which is radiatewellnesscommunity.com/podcast. You can listen to back episodes there, donate to the podcast, and on the Real Life Angel Encounters page, you can also click a link to submit your own angel story, because I'm always, always looking for angel stories. And then on YouTube, both of the podcasts are on YouTube on video there. And that is youtube.com/radiatewellnesskc. Now, one thing about the Real Life Angel Encounters, some storytellers are a little reticent to be on camera. And that's totally fine. I do not have to record the video of any guest telling their story. We can use audio only. What I do is I just put a picture on the YouTube video, and you know the client's identity is hidden visually, but you know, it's an audio version as well, and we can listen to both podcasts on any and all podcast platforms, including YouTube.
And can people book a QHHT session with you?
Yes, they can book a QHHT session with me, and Reiki, and a reading. They can do that at radiatewellnesscommunity.com. And I should say, Radiate Wellness Community, anybody who visits that site will see that it's a group practice. There's myself, I'm the owner, and there are three other wonderful practitioners on that site as well. But people can book a QHHT session if they're in the Kansas City area. QHHT must be done locally. Or they can book an introspective hypnosis session, which is also very powerful, and it has many similarities and can accomplish much of the same thing as a QHHT session, but it is different. That I can do online. So they can book those sessions, a Reiki session or a reading with me, or services with any of our practitioners. All information is on the website, radiatewellnesscommunity.com. And then the book is also there. Right now, it's available for pre-order as we record this June 3rd. It will be out in the UK June 24th and in the US July 1st.
Great. That's fantastic. Thanks for all the information and thanks for coming on.
Thank you again, Simon. I really appreciated it.
This week, I was talking to Christy Hoffman about her book, Real Life Angel Encounters. Real people share real stories of miraculous encounters. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up to Patreon. The Patreon episodes are ad-free and are released 2 days before the free versions. And you can now sign up for a 7-day trial if you want to try out the extended episodes. You can become a patron by going to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife or click on the Patreon button on my homepage at pastlifeshypnosis.co.uk. The links are in the show notes. And my book, Verified Near-Death Experiences, is getting great feedback. It's on Amazon and in other bookshops. You can get it on paperback, Kindle, and audiobook. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.